first springboard in typical Nathan fashion. So, buckle up. Here we go. Romans 1:20 reads, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Pastor, would you please pray over the sharing of God's Word?
Father God, we thank You for the opportunity that we can gather together and break the bread of Your Word tonight, Lord, that it may strengthen and nourish our souls. Lord, we pray, Father, that You would anoint our brothers to share Your Word, and we pray, Father, that You would help Him, Lord, to teach only those things that come from You, Lord, and that Your name would be lifted up and glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Preaching on a thought or a message entitled, "Life's a Beach." Life's a beach. Well, that's kind of an odd title. How did you come up with that? Well, the person that I spend more time with than anybody else in my life kind of suggested in a half-hearted way, like, you ought to preach about beaches. I thought, wow, that could go really well. That could work. How many of you grew up around here? I grew up around here. I mean, if some of my earliest memories were sitting in my dad's lap, and he had this old Jeep Wagoneer, and he would put us out there. It was when you could drive on the beach, and we were down there, you know, couldn't work the pedals or anything. We're sitting in my dad's lap driving this big old thing, get in the tire tracks of some other vehicle and let it just basically pull you along through the wet sand down by the water. But I think probably being in proximity to the ocean, close, you kind of begin to lose the awe or the sense of wonder, perhaps. That, you know, we love to go, you know, right there by the airport when you're coming off the freeway, there's a little vista point. And often you'll go in there and see a whole line of cars, and most of them have out-of-state plates. And they're just sitting there watching the ocean with a great sense of awe. And we kind of take it for granted. It's there. We hear it. We smell it. It's there and it's present all the time. Sentimentally, I look back over events in my life. My wife and I had just begun dating. I think it may have been the first time we were actually like embraced. It wasn't really even an embrace. She was sitting on a piece of driftwood, like at the Mad River Beach, and I leaned back against her. And I don't even think she put her arms around me. But I remember that sense of closeness. And it was like a, hey, this is pretty special. I like this a lot. And it stuck in my mind. There on the beach. Life's a beach. It's often quiet, placid, beautiful. My wife and I were on the beach recently, and I heard an explosion. I thought, wow, somebody's using dynamite or something, right? Did you hear that, honey? She said, yeah, that was a wave. No, that wasn't a wave. That was like an explosion a couple miles away. I heard it was like dynamite or something. I wasn't really paying attention. Pretty soon it happened again, closer. Boom! Wow. Then I was on the lookout. The surf wasn't really high, but we were kind of along the rocky coast. There was somewhere where the water was going into like a channel or a little tunnel or something. But when it hit just the right way, the sound that it made was quite incredible. The Bible tells us in Psalm 18:2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." That's Psalm 18:46. "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God, and from Him cometh my salvation. He is my only rock of my salvation and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." That's Psalm 62:1-2. I think you begin to appreciate the strength of something when you see what it can withstand. How many of you have ever gone down and stood in the surf? I'm a chicken of the sea. I'm the kind of guy, it's cold around. I don't have a wetsuit. You know, you see those guys out there surfing.
they're on long boards and wetsuits because it's cold. I go out there and I get my feet cold, but I don't really want to get cold. I don't want to really get out in the cold water. But if you stand there and you get a little bit higher of a wave than you thought you would, you can feel it pushing on you, and then you can feel it pulling on you. And you start to get just a little bit of a sense of how much force is there in that wake, in that water. And then, when you see a big rolling wave come in, and you think, wow, this is really going to be exciting. Because when it hits a rock, what does it do? Boom! Big, huge fountains of spray. And the rock is wet. When the water is gone, dripping wet. But the rock is still there. It hasn't been moved. It hasn't been altered. It's an amazing thing to behold these things.
Bridget said, wonder how they got there. Being they're immovable. I mean, how did they get there? I don't know. We weren't there. We'll ask God about it sometime, perhaps.
I put it there because it's a beautiful rock to look at. And it throws the spray just right. And we see all of these things. And I don't see how anybody can see the vast beauty that surrounds us and say, oh, there is no God. God doesn't care about us. He's a distant, far-off God who doesn't care whether or not we appreciate the places that we live in. I don't see how you could look around at the great beauty that we're surrounded by and say, God doesn't care. God cares. And the environment that we live in testifies of His majesty, of His wisdom, of His artistic quality. Because you look at all of these things and go, wow, could you have planned it any better? And I would say, most likely not. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who was he answering? Jesus said, Whom do you say that I am? And Peter, his name wasn't Peter yet, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Went by Simon. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say unto thee also, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. Now the Catholics take this and say that it was built upon Peter. No, it was on that profession of faith that Jesus Christ is our salvation. That is the rock upon which our faith is built. And what does it say of that rock? It says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you will imagine in your mind all of the hordes of the adversary coming against it and exploding. Whew. Just like the tremendous waves that crash upon the rocks here sometimes. The rock isn't moved. The rock isn't altered. It doesn't go anywhere. We are to be on, in, a part of the rock of our salvation. That we are steadfast and immovable, unshakable. When the gates of hell come against us, remember, you are in that rock. You cannot be moved.
Should not be moved. I like... Sometimes amazed, I guess, I should say, at how awesome the sound of the ocean is. You're not even near it. We lived at the end of Fieldbrook Road there. I grew up there. We lived there for 6 years when we moved back to California. And sometimes you could be laying awake there 7 miles from the shore, over the foothills. You hear it. is that sound? That's the ocean, 7 miles away.
I understand that when Lewis and Clark crossed the continent trying to find the Pacific Ocean, before they could see it, they could hear it. Wow. Think about how far you can see from a mountain peak. Before they could see it, they could hear it. Sometimes a gentle babbling. You ever been near the ocean? It's kind of quiet, placid, glassy. Doesn't happen very much around here. It looks like it's just a sea of glass. Which is another biblical reference there. But Revelation 1, verse 14 and 15 gives us a description of our Savior. He said, "And his hair and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet were like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the sound of many waters, greater, stronger, more powerful than anything you've ever heard." That is our God's voice. When he speaks wisdom, when he speaks love, when he speaks mercy, joy, and peace, you cannot drown it out. Nobody can. If God says you are forgiven, nobody can crank up the volume and overwhelm that sound. If he says you are loved and cherished, blessed, protected, who can take away those words which he has spoken to you? Nobody can. His voice is as the sound of many waters. Sometimes when you're on the beach, it's kind of a quiet, placid day. There's no roaring tempest. You hear the seagulls cry. Sometimes they're not even there. Okay, it's a peaceful day. We're just going to find a perch and just kind of quiet down. Do you feel just a sweet, soft, gentle breeze? How does that speak of God? The Gospel of John 3:8. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell where it came from, and whither it goes to. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." What's the wind look like? Anybody ever seen the wind? Well, I've seen things carried about in the wind. I've seen water spouts. I've seen dust devils. I've seen tornadoes. What you're seeing is things affected by wind, right? You can't actually see the wind. It's not visible. What do you see? You see the effects of the wind. The wind is not seen. You cannot visually perceive the wind. But you can feel it. You know when it's windy. Because your hair gets all messed up. Well, my hair doesn't get all. Your hair may get all messed up. Your clothes may be pulled a certain direction. You may see sand. You may see water. You may see things carried about, leaves and things that are cast about in the wind. But you don't actually see the wind. People say, "Where is God? I don't see God." Things continue as they always have. Really? Things just continue as they always have? You don't feel God? You don't perceive the things that He is doing in this world, in your life, in mine? You can't look back and say, "Wow, God shut that door. He opened this door. Or He built a hedge about me here. He pushed me this way. He pulled me that way." How many of you can look back over your life and go, "Wow, kind of a windy, crazy, twisty, turny thing, but I'm so glad that God pushed, pulled me, brought me along." I can look back over my life and say, "Thank you, God, for the things that you preserved me from and that you took me through." And then I can look back and say, "Oh, Lord, I saw your strength and I know your wisdom and I believe that you were with me through it all." How would I have arrived at this point in my life without God's help? How do you know that God lives? He lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. There are things that Nate would do that God restrains me from. And there are things that I would be overwhelmed by if it weren't for the rock of my salvation. There are terrors that would overtake me by night. But God whispers sweet peace to my soul. Another thing, being near the surf and the ocean, you have a vehicle and there's a little fleck of paint missing. If it's a steel vehicle, what happens to it around here? It'll be dripping like a little streak of red, very short amount of time. That salt air. I don't know what it is about salt air, but you ever been out in the ocean, and all of a sudden, wow, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. No, maybe you've never had that experience. Nearly any time I'm near the ocean. Now, if we're going down to the ocean, pack a basket, we'll take a bottle of water or iced tea or something. Because before long, breathing that salt air, you begin to feel a severe sense of thirst. We talked earlier about the strength of the rock. How it was immovable, unshakable. That his voice is greater than the sound of many waters. You can't mute it. You can't turn down the volume of God's voice. You can't move him. The adversary cannot move him. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And yet, this rock of our salvation, the maker of all the marvels that we perceive, that we can see, that we can behold, that we can be in awe of, Jesus created it all. He is that rock. He is the one with the voice that is that great and that powerful. He is the one with all the power and the authority who does not have to yield to anybody. And yet, what does it say he did for us? He was stricken for us. In the Old Testament, we have the type of him. Moses was supposed to go and speak to the rock. Moses was angry, not with God, with the children of Israel. He smote the rock, and the rock split, and out of the rock came water. So Christ came to this world, took on the flesh, the form of a servant, did not, even in his human form, have to yield to sin, to shame, to degradation, did not once fail to fulfill the will of his Father. And at the last moment he said, Father, if it be possible, please let this cup pass from me. Even now, I do not have to yield to this. And Father, if it is possible, please take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the rock that was immovable, inseparable, was split for us so that we could have living water. All of creation speaks of our Savior. There is type of him everywhere in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. What is the point of it? John 7, verses 37 and 38. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. I've said that before. Not trickles, not streams, not rivulets. Rivers! And I don't think like the Mad River. You see the Mad River now from the overpass, it looks like a little stream. I'm thinking more like the Amazon. You ever hear the story of the sailors? They were lost at sea. They got caught in the doldrums. It was before they had powered. They were relying on the wind to get them around. Well, what's the first thing it runs out of that's going to cause you serious trouble? Water! Water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. So these sailors were lost upon the ocean. And finally, they saw a vessel coming toward them. They thought, oh yes! We are saved! When the vessel got within hailing distance, they said, we need water! Please send us water! And the people on the other vessel kind of gave them puzzled looks and said, throw a bucket over the side and pull up some water! What they didn't know was even though they were many, many miles from the shore, they were in the path of the Amazon River. And so, for hundreds of miles out into the ocean, the water's fresh and drinkable. And so, they were sitting upon the very thing that they needed. And they were oblivious to it until somebody said, put down a bucket. Have some water. You fool. What are you waiting for? And we get to that point. Although we live here, we are surrounded by all the beauties of the Pacific Ocean. We could behold them. We could partake of them. We could walk along the shore and appreciate all the awesome splendors that we have around us. We begin to go, just another day at the beach. Oh, it's just the redwood trees. Everyone's got redwood trees. No, they don't. Everybody has the beauty and the majesty of these mountains. No, they don't. We live in a particular geographic location. And yes, you could say, well, there are other beautiful, wonderful splendors around the world. Yes, and they all testify of God. And people get so accustomed to them, they begin to forget that our God is ready at all times to pour out that living water upon all flesh, so that we may have the sufficiency which we need, not only in the life to come, but in this one. If God sends you any adversity in life, He will also help you through it. I'm going to close with this. I made a mention of it this morning in Sunday school. Jesus came to a woman at the well. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, it's John 4:10, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him and he would have given thee living water, that you shall never be in want again. Yes, you will have physical thirst again. Yes, you will have desires that you may not fulfill. Yes, but you will never again be in this state of wanton loss. You will have in you living water, provided by the rock of our salvation. When he yielded unto death and did not remain in the grave, but was raised for our sanctification. Life's a beach. Sometimes we forget how wonderful and how marvelous it is. Pastor.